speaking of children, I think it was towards the beginning of, summer. Naomi and I decided to take the kids out because, you know, with Corona and fires and all the stuff that was happening, they were stuck in the house for a long time. So we decided to go to the beach down in San Clemente. And I remember we got, you know, to the beach and we parked the car and we're walking towards the beach. And these two older gentlemen were walking the other way. So they were walking towards us. And as they pass by, I hear them discussing, and one of them says to the other one, you know, the thing that's wrong with youth culture these days is, and I'm sorry, I couldn't get the answer because they walked away, so I don't know what, you know, was wrong, but I just remember, like, feeling offended, you know, and I was like, man, it's just like these old people, you know, like, what do they have against us, you know? And then I kept walking, and I realized that he probably wasn't talking about me. I was like, wait a minute, he probably didn't include me in the youth culture part of his comment. And I got a little bit sad, and it was a bit of a gut punch that day. But it got me thinking of this passage that we have in Joshua chapter 14. Verses 10 through 12, where Caleb is speaking. He goes to Joshua and he says, as you see, the Lord has kept me alive these 45 years as he promised. Since the Lord spoke to Moses while Israel was journeying in the wilderness, here I am today, 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as I was the day Moses sent me out. My strength for battle and daily tasks is now as it was then. Now give me this hill country the Lord promised me on that day, because you heard then that the Anakim are there, as well as large fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me, and I will drive them out as the Lord promised. So as strong today as I was then. If you look at our church, if you look at Emmanuel, our demographics probably skew a little bit older. There's probably more people over the age of 50 than there are under. I don't have exact numbers for you, but this is kind of my general sense of our church. And for some people, that's a bad thing, right? Because today's culture, it's all about being young. When you want to sell something, it's all about making people feel young, targeting the younger demographics. It's all about being young. But I believe that our demographics and our brothers and sisters that we have here could be one of our greatest strengths if we have a bunch of Calebs in our church, as we're going to see as we go through this message. If we have a bunch of Calebs who said, I'm as strong now as I was at my peak. So if you guys remember the context, Moses and the people of Israel, they come to the land of Canaan, and they're about to go in and start taking over. But before they do, they send scouts, and there's one representative from each of the tribes of Israel. And Joshua represents the tribe of Ephraim, and Caleb represents the tribe of Judah. And when they go in, they scout the land, they see fortified cities, they see large armies, they see giants, and they come back, and 10 of the scouts say, we can't go in and take over Canaan. They're too strong for us. And it's only Joshua and Caleb who say, no, believe in what God told us to do. Let's go into Canaan and conquer, because we can take them if God is on our side. And they don't, right? Because the Lord is angry with them. And as a punishment, the people of Israel go and they wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And the only people who are allowed of that generation to enter into the promised land are Joshua and Caleb 40 years later. And this is where the story picks up over here. And in the first verse that I read, Caleb says, as you see, the Lord kept me alive these 45 years. And have you ever asked yourself, have you ever come to a point where you're like, why am I alive? If you're younger, just why has God given me life in the first place? Or if you're part of the older generation, why has God kept me alive all these years? Why has God kept me alive to this point? Because we could either be peaking, we could either be coasting, or we could either be declining, right? We could either be peaking in physical, emotional, spiritual strength. Maybe some of us are just coasting, trying to get by. Or maybe you find yourself in a situation where you're actually declining. You're looking at yourself, who you were 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 5 years ago, a month ago, and you're like, I'm not the same person I was back then. I'm not as strong. I'm not as vigorous. I'm not as passionate as I used to be. Because so many of us start out big, but then fade away as we grow older. You know, when we're 18 or 20 or 30 years old, we're full of passion and we're full of zeal and we join ministries and we go on mission trips and we, you know, we're part of the worship team and we do all these things for God. We want to put on events and conferences and gather people and bring people together. And then as we grow older and life takes over and we get married and we have a few kids, you know, like I don't have time to read like I used to. I don't have time to worship like I used to. I don't have time to drop everything and run to church or be involved in that ministry like I used to. Life takes over. And we have an example in the Bible of somebody who started strong and then ended poorly. It's King Asa. And we find his story in 2 Chronicles chapters 14 through 16. We're told in the opening verses of chapter 14 that Asa did what was good and right in the sight of the Lord his God. That's how his story begins. And we see that he begins with a lot of zeal and a lot of passion to do God's will. And he meets with prophets and the prophets encourage him to bring the people of Judah back to serving and walking with God. And that's what he does. He removes the pagan altars from Judah. He gets the people of Judah to seek the Lord. At one point, there's this massive army of 1 million Cushites that come against Judah. And obviously, the kingdom of Judah doesn't have 1 million-man army. So the only thing that King Asa can do is fall on his knees and seek the Lord. And as he cries out to God, God answers him, and the impossible happens. They defeat this mighty army of 1 million men. He even removes his grandmother, Makkah, because she built an altar to Asherah. He removes her from being the queen mother of Judah because she was an idolater and she would not follow the living God. So he starts out great. But, it says, 36 years pass by. 3.5 decades later, he has another battle, and this time it's not against an army of 1 million men. He's not facing insurmountable odds. He's facing the northern kingdom of Israel. And he thinks, I can take them. All I need to do is be a little political, be a little strategic, and make some right alliances. So he goes to the king of Damascus, the king of Syria, and he says, hey, you know, break your alliance with the king of Israel. Join me. Let's battle him together, and we can take him. And that's what they do. But he didn't turn to God like he did when the odds were against them. And so the prophet Hanani comes to him and he says, why didn't you seek God? Why did you look to men for your strength instead of going to God? You even have this example of when you fought the Cushites and the Lord showed up and the Lord gave you victory. What are you doing? And he says, because you didn't turn to God, you will now have war for the rest of your life. And instead of receiving the rebuke, like David received the rebuke from the prophet Nathan, King Asa is angry at the prophet Hanani, and he throws him in jail, throws him in prison, lets him rot in jail because he didn't like what he heard. And later, you read in chapter 16 that, you know, a little bit more time goes by and he gets older and he gets this foot disease. And a lot of times it's pain that pushes us towards God, right? Because when we're feeling that pain, you know, like when times are going well, a lot of times we're like, I don't need God. But when we're feeling pain, all of a sudden we remember God, right? And you're thinking, okay, at least this foot disease maybe is going to push Asa to go back to God. And even that doesn't happen. It says all he did, Asa didn't seek God, but all he did was seek physicians. Can't say that word, physicians. He went to Jason Koshman, sinner. Just kidding. But he didn't turn towards God. And that is the epitaph of his life. That is the summation of the life of Asa, a man who began passionate for the things of God and then ended by fading away. And you know what's crazy? I'm often jealous of myself, of the man that I was when I was younger. I often look at my life and I remember the dreams that I had. I remember the dreams that God gave me and I believed with all my heart in worldwide revival. And I believed in all my heart that our eyes would see miraculous healings in our midst. Lives changed, lives transformed. And I read the Word of God obsessively, daily, could not put it down. Took the Bible with me to every appointment that I had. And if I had 3 minutes to wait for my appointment to start, I would be reading the Word of God. And like I said, then life happens, right? Life happens, and I can't wake up early because I already woke up early for the kids. And I can't, you know, be involved in as much, you know, as many things as I used to because, you know, I have other responsibilities. And I look back and I'm jealous of me. I'm jealous of the man that I used to be. And what about you? What about you? What dreams did God give you at one point in your life? Maybe when you were a teenager or in your early 20s or 30s or 40s. What dreams did God give you? Because we have this amazing example and this amazing contrast between King Asa and Caleb. We have this man who says, I'm as strong now at 85 years old as I was when I was at the peak of my strength. I have not been diminished one bit. But for what? Strong for what? Strong so you can flex on other people? Strong so you can show off? Strong so you can feel good about yourself? No, that is not the purpose. That is not the reason. That is not why we're talking about this today. Caleb says, I'm as strong now as I was back then because I'm strong for battle. And as the Word of God says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Against high places, against principalities, against spiritual dark forces. That is our battle, brothers and sisters. And for that, there is no retirement. Amen? I don't know who I'm speaking to, but I know that I'm speaking to somebody this morning. There is no age of retirement when you're in this battle. So what I'm praying for is that we have a church full of not Asas, men and women who started off with full passion and full zeal for the work of the Lord, and then later on looked forward to nothing but retirement. But I'm praying that we have a church full of Calebs this morning. A church full of Calebs who are undiminished in strength and undiminished in zeal and undiminished in passion for the living God. Amen? And in verse 12, Caleb says, now give me this hill country that the Lord promised to me that day, because you heard then that the Anakim are there, as well as large fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me, and I will drive them out as the Lord promised. He says, now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me on that day. So let's talk a little bit about past promises. He says, something was promised to him on that day. And that day, as I already mentioned, was how many years ago? How many years ago was the promise made to Caleb? 45 years ago, right? The promise that was made to Caleb was made 45 years ago. The promise wasn't fulfilled. The blessing wasn't received until 45 years later. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that? The blessing wasn't received and the promise wasn't fulfilled until 45 years later, but it was fulfilled and the blessing was received. Amen? So the key, and I believe what the Lord is trying to tell us, is do not ever give up on God's promises. Do not ever give up on the promises that God made to you or to our church or to your family. God has spoken to many of us. I know God speaks in this church. I know God speaks here at Emmanuel. And God has spoken to many of us. Men, women, parents, children, grandparents, God has spoken, and he's made declarations and promises in your life. But the problem is we become impatient, right? We are an impatient people. I am an impatient man. And we can't wait the months, the years, or maybe the decades that it takes for God's plan to be fully lived out. I mean, sometimes we can't even wait hours or days, right? But God said, it's been 3 hours. What happened to God's promises? And we can't wait, and we become impatient, and we move on, and we think God didn't really speak, or maybe God doesn't know what he's talking about, or maybe God isn't strong enough to fulfill his promises to us because we're an impatient people, because we give up on God, because God gives up on us. But do you know when the promise of the Messiah was made? Do you know when the first promise of a Messiah being given to us, to mankind was made? It wasn't made to David, right? It wasn't made to Moses. It wasn't made to Abraham. It wasn't made to Noah. The promise of the Messiah was given to Adam and Eve there in the Garden of Eden, where the Lord said, the seed of the woman is going to crush the head of the serpent. That was the promise of a Messiah made thousands of years before Jesus Christ actually walked on the earth. But the promise was fulfilled. The Word of God became living flesh and walked among us. And that is why salvation is a reality for you and me. Because it didn't matter that decades passed, or centuries, or thousands of years. The Word of our God became living flesh, walked among us, went to the cross, died for you and for me, and now he sits enthroned at the right hand of God. Don't ever give up on God's promises. The second thing is, it's never too late for you to step into your promise. Now, you might be thinking, fine, you know, the promise doesn't get old, but I do, right? God's promise doesn't age, but I'm looking in the mirror. I know what's going on, right? Like I said, Caleb was 85 years old when he said, I'm going to grab a hold of God's promise. It's just as valid if you're 65 or 45 or 25 or 15 years old. God's promise is still just as valid for you today as it was when God originally made it to you. The only difference is that Caleb said, you know, if God promised it, I'm going to walk in it. If God said it, I'm going to believe it. If God declared it, he will give me the ability to fulfill it. That is the only difference between Caleb and you and me. Caleb believed God at his word, and he didn't look at himself and maybe the frailties that had crept in, or maybe his age, because he was 85 years old, he said, you know what? If God gave me the promise, God is going to give me the strength. He's the one who kept me strong for battle up to this point so that I could go in and take possession of the promise that God gave me. And he said, God made me a promise on that day, and look, there are Anakim and fortified cities in the land. Anakim were the giants. Goliath, right? Goliath, David and Goliath, and fortified cities. So Caleb was asking, let me, not hand me the terror, hand me the blessing that God gave me, or help me out, or do some, no. He said, let me go in to this land that is filled with giants and filled with 45 cities so that I, at 85 years old, will take possession of the promise that God gave me. Let me take on the giants. Let me take on the fortified cities. I'm not afraid because I know that God is with me. He didn't ask Joshua for retirement or for a condo on the beach somewhere on the Mediterranean Sea, to take it easy. You know, I've done my part. I've done my duty. I'm 85 years old now. I'm getting older. It's time for me to live the good life and let the younger generation come up and fight the battles for me. No, he said, I want to fight the battles. Give me the land where the giants are. Give me the land that has the fortified cities that need destroying. I want to go in and take possession of the promise myself. He asked for battle. He asked for giants. He asked for obstacles, because it's the battles and the obstacles, dear church, that keep us relying on God, that keep our faith strong when we see the giants being defeated and the fortified cities falling by the power of God. So many of us start out with such passion and promise. And then the older we get, the more we have to lose. Now we have a house. Now we have a career. Now we have all these good things. We have possessions. It's different, right? It's different now. It was easy when I was a teen. It was easy when I was in my 20s. I didn't have so much to lose back then. But now as we grow older, the safer we start to play it. I can't go all in now. I'll lose everything. I'll lose my retirement. I'll lose my house. I'll lose all the things that I spent a lifetime to build up. Brothers and sisters, why are we worried about losing things, since God's the one who gave us those things in the first place? Why are we worried about losing things instead of choosing to give those things away in the first place? To not be attached to the things of this world, like it says in John chapter 12, verse 25, the one who loves his life, what happens? What happens to those of us who love our lives and the comfort that we have here on earth? We'll lose it. It says, the one who loves his life will lose it, and the one who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. And I think Boone was such a great example of this. No college education, no Fortune 500 job, raising 12 children on her own, and God took care of her. For 100 years, she never went without. The Lord always put food on her table. The Lord always put clothing on her back. The Lord always provided a roof over her head. Her circumstances did not, but God did. God provided. And God provides still. So my question, first of all, to me, and then to you, is where are all of the radical Christians? Where are all of the radical Christians that should be filling our pews? Where are all the radical Christians that should be filling our churches, who will hate this life so that they can gain eternity? And that's why I call this message Aging Backwards. Because instead of increasingly take it easy as we grow older, we should become increasingly radical as we grow older. Because think about it. If at 20 I had 50 to 60 years to do the work that God called me to do, when I'm 60 years old, I have maybe 10 or 20 years old, 20 years left to do the things that God called me to do. Or think of it another way. If I knew that God was going to come in 30 minutes, that God would the second coming of Jesus Christ would happen in 30 minutes, do you think that I would care for one bit what anybody thinks of me? I've been hurt by a lot of people in this church. I've been blessed by even more people in this church. But still, in the light of the Lord coming, do you think that any of that, any of the past pain, any of the past hurt, any of the past losses, any of that, do you think any of that would matter in light of the coming and the presence of Jesus Christ? It would not. I would be preaching like it was my last sermon on earth, right? And so would you. So why don't we do that? Why don't we do that? And in conclusion, I just want to say that, you know, if you're older, if you are or if you consider yourself part of the older generation, maybe you get to retire from your job, but you do not get to retire spiritually. Amen? None of us, from the first bench to the last bench, none of us get to retire spiritually. We're called to be like Caleb. Our strength, our spiritual strength and vigor and our passion for Jesus Christ is meant to be as strong now, wherever you find yourself in life, as it was at the peak of your youth and your strength and your ability and your resources, whatever those might have been. And also, make it a point to be an example for the younger generation. If you're part of the older generation, make it a point to be an example, to show the younger generation that it's not about starting strong and then petering out as you go on, but it's about peaking and constantly relying on the Lord to give you the strength to face the giants and the fortified cities and to conquer in his name. And then if you're part of the younger generation, if you consider yourself, whether you are or not, I'm still going to consider, no matter what those men said there at the beach at San Clemente, I'm still going to consider myself part of the younger generation for today. Seek out godly examples in our church to learn from and to be your mentors. Seek out the Calebs in our church to learn from them. What a life of prayer and a life of sacrifice and a life of pain sometimes mean in walking with God. What it takes to be victorious in this walk with the Lord. And if you don't see any Calebs in our church, if you don't see any Calebs, understand that that's not normal. Understand that that's not normal. That's not the way how things should be. And ask why. Why are there no Calebs in my church? Why are there no Calebs in my family? And don't judge and don't point fingers. But if you don't see any, don't accept that the elders of our church are fading away into the background. Instead, push and encourage them to be Calebs, peaking, going strong. Pray for your parents. Pray for your grandparents' generation. Pray for the leaders of this church. Pray for our elders, that they all might be Calebs. And in fact, let's do that for each other. Not just the young for the old, but let's take that responsibility on ourselves to push one another, to encourage one another, to strengthen one another, to know the reality that we can be like Caleb, and it's never too late to walk into our promises. And just imagine what our church would look like if we had hundreds and hundreds of Calebs here sitting in these pews, each one at the peak of their spiritual strength, ready for battle, ready for conquest, filled with the zeal of youth and the wisdom of age. May God make Emmanuel Church a church that is full of Calebs. Amen.